Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Gaur Premanandi Agri Samadvotis, Agri Samadvotis, Agri Samadvotis, Agri Agri Shishi Gurungaranga, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Hare Krishna temple here in London. Who is here for the first time? You're all regulars. Okay, so which verse are we going to read today? Anybody has a particular wish? What's your favorite verse?
Chapter 932.
932, okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, 9th chapter, the most confidential knowledge, text 32. Mam. He. Partha. Yapashritya ye api syu papajonaya striyo vaishyas tatha shudras te api yanti param gatim. Mam hi partavya pashritya yepisyu papayonaya striyo vaishyastata shudras tepiyanti paramgatim. Mam of me,
of me.
He. Certainly. Partha, O son of Pritha, Vyapashritya,
particularly taking shelter.
Ye,
those who,
api,
also,
syu,
are,
papajonaya,
born of a lower family.
Striya,
women.
Vaishya,
mercantile people.
Tata,
also.
Shudra,
lower class men.
Te api,
even they.
Yanti,
go.
Param, to the supreme,
Gatim,
destination.
Destination.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Sana Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, and Shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. Report. It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Everyone is eligible for the supreme destination. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 4th Chapter, Text 18, it is stated that even the lowest, who are called chandalas, dog-eaters, can be purified by association with a pure devotee. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. The most simple man taking shelter of the pure devotee can be purified by proper guidance. According to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, Brahmins, the mode of passion, Kshatriyas, or administrators, the mixed modes of passion, ignorance, Vaishyas, or merchants, and the mode of ignorance, Shudras, or workers. Those lower than them are called Chandalas, and they are born in sinful families. Generally, the association of those born in sinful families is not accepted by the higher classes. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all the lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. This is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna. As indicated here by the word Vyapashritya, one has to take shelter completely of Krishna. Then one can become much greater than great jnanis and yogis. Myam hi vyakta vyapashritya jepi siu papajo nayas priyo ashastata shudras tepi anti param gatim. O Sanaprita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. Om Agyanati Madandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupam Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking to Arjuna, his friend and devotee, the most confidential knowledge. This is something quite unique, something hidden, something not very much known to the general classes of men. Like here, in England, you have so many universities and so many different topics are study, but if you want to find that section in any university where the most confidential knowledge is discussed, you will search for a long time, and you'd be surprised. I was just in Leipzig a week ago in Germany, which is an old university town in East Germany, 2 hours south of Berlin, and you believe it or not, but there is a chair for bhakti. There is a professor who is teaching bhakti in the University of Leipzig. But their perception is of a clearly impersonal and a clearly historical point of view. So they will study Raslila and the works of the Goswamis and all the different intricate dealings, but it is simply from a historical point of view. They do not actually expose themselves to the topic in terms of a practitioner, in terms of getting emotionally involved with the subject. But it is strictly laboratory experiment. It is not really going deeper. So, the most confidential knowledge is given here by Lord Krishna in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And he's stating to Arjuna that those who take shelter of me, even though they have taken lower births, they can achieve the supreme destination. Now, lower birth When we hear lower birth, it is listed here, women, merchants, and workers. We may think, what is this? Is Krishna, is he a racist, or is he, is he judging people according to social status? But no, because, first of all, it is stated, Kalo Shudra Bhat Sambhava, in this age of Kali, everybody is on the level of Shudra. We are all workers. We all come here to work. Huh? Every single one of us. Because there is no more pure Brahminical, even though I've seen in your brochure for the Diwali festival, Brahmin Society of London is also present. Now if you'd examine of the Brahmin Society of London, how many of these gentlemen and ladies are actually engaged in Brahminical occupation? None. What are the Brahminical activities? Yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana, pratigraha. These are the six Brahminical activities. Means you study and you teach, you give in charity, you accept in charity, and you engage in sacrifices, and you engage others in sacrifice. How many are doing that? Very, very few. So, to actually engage in the Brahminical activities and to have the Brahminical qualities is something very rare, very unique. It is stated in Gita also, Shamoda Mastapa Shaucham Chanti Raja Mamevacha Gyanam Vigyanamastikyam Brahma Karma Svabhavajam, that the qualities of a Brahmin is that he is Sama, peaceful, Dhamma, he's tolerant, he's truthful, he's generous, he's gentle, all these qualities, which are very much absent nowadays. Because in Kali Yuga, we are manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya yuparita. We are short-lived, we are always disturbed, and we are always in anxiety. Just like now, it's Saturday evening, 6:05, and you're sitting at the Radha Londoneshwar Hare Krishna Temple in Soho. But our mind is already talking, oh, what are you going to do tonight? What's happening? What I'm going to do tonight? What's my plans? What's going to happen in the weekend? And even though you don't have to work, for another 1.5 days, still our mind is giving us anxiety and is telling us, oh, Monday morning you got that very important appointment, you have that job interview, and you have that project which is coming up, and you have that unpleasurable meeting. So many things are projected constantly in our mind. So that shows we are not Brahman. Brahma janititi brahmana. A Brahman is a person who knows Brahman. He knows the nature of the Absolute Truth. What does that mean? Brahma bhuta prasanatmana shochati na kamshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Brahman, the nature of Brahman, means there is no hankering and no lamentation. You're peaceful. You're equipoised. You got no worries. You got no problems. That is a Brahman. As long as we got worries, that means we do not attain the Brahman platform. We are still in the world of duality, the world of names, good and bad, my friend, my enemy. But that is not helping us. So Krishna, he is not calling people names here, but he's simply giving the different classifications. He's simply explaining the different categories of persons which are there. Women are there as a category. Vaishyas, merchants, they're there as a category. Shudras, workers, they're there as a category. And we all belong to these three categories. But we can attain the supreme destination. How? By simply chanting Hare Krishna and taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. In this Kali Yuga, Krishna, he has appeared in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you chant the holy names of Krishna, Rama, and Hare, and you take shelter of those holy names, Krishna is present in his holy name. He's none different from his name. In a material platform, it doesn't make any sense. You can chant water, 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 and all it makes you is thirsty. You don't get any happiness or satisfaction. In fact, just chanting water makes me thirsty.
the other hand, when you chant Hare Krishna, because Krishna is none different from his name, you feel that joy, that happiness, that ecstasy. Just like today, we went out and we were in Stratford, a very bright spot on the map of London. And we met a lot of the 400,000 human species, which are mostly present in London. And we met the whole world in Stratford. The entire world is present there. All different species from all different planets. They're there. And they saw us chanting Hare Krishna. And people were very appreciative. Even though more than half of them did not understand even English. But if you see somebody who is chanting and dancing and is happy, you don't have to understand their language, right? Just like when you see somebody has eaten a good meal, you don't have to go there and ask him, my dear sir, my dear lady, was it good? Did you just have something good to eat? You just have to look at their face. You can see, you can notice, right? It is not that you have to give him a questionnaire, you know, how did you like the meal? So in the same way, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, natural feeling of joy arises in our heart. Now, why is it that sometimes this joy is not arising? Why is it? Because we are still held back by our materialistic mind and by committing different types of offenses. Mainly we are inattentive. We are thinking we are chanting Hare Krishna, but actually we are checking text messages, or we are planning projects, or we are worrying about so many other things. So, in fact, we are not actually chanting and listening. It's called multitasking. And I know women are much better at that than men are. Guys have to do one thing at a time, and otherwise it's hopeless. Don't do too many things. Ladies are much better at being able to do a few things at the same time. But when we practice mantra meditation and we chant Hare Krishna, we shouldn't do like that, even though we have the possibility to do a few things at the same time. Why? Because it will divert our attention. Just like when you're dealing with a person and you're talking with that person, and then that person talks to you, but you're just looking at whoever is walking by and what else is going on, and you're checking your watch. And at one point, your friend will say, if you got things to do, then just go and do them, right? I mean, don't bother. I'm okay. If you got things to worry about, just go and worry about those things. But if you don't have, the time and the energy to deal with me, that's okay. I can accept that. But at the same time, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, well, we're doing a million things at once, and in our mind, we're completely somewhere else on a different planet, then basically that's what we're doing to Krishna. We're saying, hey Krishna, I'm here. I want something from you, but actually, I'm not here. I'm not present. So, to become conscientious about this fact is the process of becoming purified in chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now, the process of becoming purified, it is what is mentioned here by Krishna, that to attain the supreme destination, what is the supreme destination? Paramgati. It is to attain Krishna's shelter. It is to attain Krishna's lotus feet. To attain his mercy. And how is that done? By searching out Krishna's pure devotee, by taking shelter of the personalities who have Krishna. Just like, if you are in search for knowledge, what do? You go to a school, right? Or you search out the library, because you want to get knowledge. If you are, like here in London, we saw today, there's a lot of people who come to London because they want money. So what do? You search out a boss who has got some money, and you do some work for him, and then you get paid, hopefully, if you're lucky. And you earn some money. In the same way, if you want to achieve the supreme destination, if you want to achieve Krishna, and you say, I want Krishna, I really want Krishna, real bad, then you find out who has Krishna. Because that person can give you Krishna. Huh? Now, who is that person who has Krishna? Srila Prabhupada. Because he's the representative of Srimati Radharani. Just like when you have a king or a queen, you cannot approach these personalities directly and just walk up in there and say, "Hi, John, how are you doing today? Nice to meet you. How's it going? How are your horses? Are the dogs doing all right?" No. You have to go through the representative. You have to go through the person who represents that personality. In the same way, we are trying to please His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, by chanting Hare Krishna, by engaging in devotional service, by spreading the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Srila Prabhupada has Krishna. Why does he have Krishna? Because he is a pure devotee. He is simply absorbed in acting for the pleasure of their lordships, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Now, historically, there have been so many incidences recorded in Shastra about personalities who were engaged in most abominable activities, but by coming in contact, by getting the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord, they had become purified. Just like, for instance, there was a hunter. His name was Mrigari. And his speciality, his forte was that he would half kill animals. He wouldn't kill them completely. He was so expert that he could shoot arrows in such a way that the animal was just incapacitated and would just suffer and lie there in great pain and agony. Now, when Narada Muni, the great sage, was traveling through the forest, he saw this deer who had arrows in his legs and in his neck and in his body. And he was suffering terribly. And he was making terrible noises. So he thought, "What is this? What is going on here?" And he went along the way and he saw all different types of animals in the same condition. Until he saw a person which was dark and he had a lot of fur. He had some furry coat. And he was the hunter, Mrigari. And Narada Muni, when he walked through the forest and all the animals ran away, so Mrigari got quite upset. "What are you doing? You're disturbing my occupation. This is my job." So he's asking, Narada Muni is asking Mrigari, "Well, why don't you just at least just kill them, you know? Why do you have killed them?" He says, "This is our great tradition. My father has done it like that. My grandfather has done it like that. So I'm doing simply the same thing. It is our family tradition. I'm a hunter." And Narada Muni asked him, "Do you know that you will incur a lot of sinful reactions from your activities? This is very bad. This is terrible." He said, "Never mind. I have a great family. And, you know, I'm taking care of my wife, of all my kids, of all my relatives. So they will all share in my karma, in my sinful reactions. Because, you know, I'm not doing this for my own sake. I'm doing this for my tribe, for my people. I'm one of the good guys." Narada Muni asked him, "Okay, so you please go to your home and you ask your relatives who is ready to share your sinful karma? Who is ready to go to hell along with you because of all the animals you're torturing and killing?" So he went and he asked, and surprisingly he found out that nobody was interested in his bad karma. They all said, "No, we don't have anything to do with that." Isn't it hilarious? Like, all these, you know, crooks, criminals, gangsters, mobsters, all these big cheaters, they have families, they have wives, they have kids, and everybody knows what daddy's up to, what his occupation is. But most of them just don't seem to care, right? Because they think, hey, if he, you know, gets killed or goes to jail, you know, tough luck. They couldn't care less. Because, you know, money talks. So they said, "No, daddy, your karma, thank you. No, thank you. You can keep it." So he came back to Narada Muni a little bit disturbed, and he said, "You know what? They don't want it. They're not going to share. I have to suffer all this on my own." So Narada Muni said, "Yeah, so you should give up your sinful ways and take up a different lifestyle." He said, "How will I maintain my family? How can I continue living? How is it possible? We have been doing this for generations. I am in a great tradition of hunters and gatherers. How can I give this up? It is against my family tradition. I must do this occupation. Narada Muni said, I will provide for your family and yourself. Don't worry. We'll be all fine. So, Mrigari, he broke his bow and arrows and he accepted the holy name of the Lord. And he got initiated by Narada Muni. And he, simply because he had faith in the instruction, in the word of his guru, and he started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And in fact, he became a well-known saint in his area. And every day people used to come and visit him and bring him so much food and so many gifts and so many things that he was telling his guru, please tell them not to bring. It's too much. We cannot deal with all these goods. Slow down. We are only a few people here. We don't need so many things. And once Narad Muni and Parvat Muni, his friend, they were both visiting the area, and when Mrigari saw them coming, he came running out of his hut, and with his chadar, he was cleaning the road because there was ants there. And he just didn't want to pay his dandavats in the ants because they would get squished. So he first put the ants away before he paid his dandavats. How many times are we doing that? We think ants, you know, they will get liberation. Let me liberate the mosquitoes, you know. Because we are of a different mentality. But he was so purified by chanting Hare Krishna, he did not even want to trample one single ant. That is the change of consciousness. Before, he was half killing animals and enjoying it. But you know, family tradition, it is a thing like that. Like once there was a person and he lived in a village. And because his family had been living in that village for many generations, and they have been getting water from that particular well. They all got water from that well. But at one point, a dead bird fell into that well, and the water got poisoned. But still they were taking the water. And everybody got sick, and people started dying. So everybody urged him not to take that water from that well. But he said, no, my family always took water from that well. We're not going to go to any other well. Because my father did it, my grandfather did it, my great-grandfather did it. Probably the Adi great-grandfather, he dug that well. We're not going to drink any other water, rather we'll die. So people were dying, but he insisted that everybody of his family drink that water. And even when he was dying himself, he was saying, Tatata Kupam, my well, you have to take the water here. And in the same way, we're following family traditions and different type of rituals, which we're accustomed to. And we don't question them. We don't think, oh, what's the use, what's the benefit? We just think, they've been doing this since time immemorial. So I have to do like this also. But an intelligent person is able to distinguish, to discern, to question. Not with a challenging spirit, but with an objective mind. Otherwise, when we practice spiritual life, if we cannot distinguish between spiritual activity and simply cultural conditioning, we will become illusioned. Just like people come here sometimes, and they think this is just a Hindu temple and we're going through their rituals, through the motions of doing all the Hindu things. And then they get a little bit disturbed and annoyed that some of the things are not so Indian and some of the things are not so Hindu. And it becomes a little weird for them, right? They become... And we try to explain to them that we are not a cultural club. We are not just doing things in a certain way because this is a historical movement. Or this is some family tradition. Well, we are actually practicing spiritual life, which means you understand the difference between a principle and a detail. Spiritual life is the principle. Worshipping God, worshipping Krishna, and serving Him is the principle. But whether you are cooking this type of food or that type of food, that is a detail. If you come from a background and in your tradition you have a different type of cooking style, you can do that for Krishna. Now, of course, if you have Radha Krishna, they have a particular liking and a particular style. But you can still offer all the other pure vegetarian foods to them. They do not mind. So Krishna is not limited. We cannot limit Him by our mundane limitations, by our mundane conditioning. That is not spiritual life. So we have to distinguish what is a principle and what is a detail. Otherwise, if we go after the details, we'll always be disappointed. Because there's always some details which are not exactly right. Some things which are not perfect, which are not working out. And if you think, oh, this is not how I'm used to do it, this is not how things are used to be, our mind will become disturbed, will become agitated. So, to attain Krishna's lotus feet, that is the goal. And that means we take shelter of the pure devotee, that person who has Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he has sacrificed his life in order to bring Krishna consciousness to the whole world, to the entire planet. He went on a 38-day boat journey from India to America just to bring everybody Krishna's message. So he has done this, and he is very, very dear to Krishna. In fact, he has... One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, so when did you become a pure devotee? He said, I was always remembering Krishna. There was never a time in my life where I was not thinking of Krishna. Then they pushed further and said, okay, so when did you become a pure devotee? He said, okay, when I was 4 years old. So from his early childhood, he was engaged in Ratha Yatra, in worshipping the deity. And later on, he published all these wonderful books. He traveled the world more than 12 times. And he opened over 100 temples for the worship of Radha and Krishna. And he established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give people the chance to engage in pure devotional service. What does pure devotional service mean? It is defined in Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Gyara Karmadhyan Avritam Anukulyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Uttama. Uttama Bhakti, or pure devotion, it is unalloyed. It is uncontaminated. You know what an alloy is? Anybody here is in metallurgy or in chemicals? It's a mixture of different metals. But it might be a nice mixture. You might mix silver and gold, but it's an alloy. So it is unalloyed. It is pure. It is not tinged with any other contamination. What are the main contaminations we have to look for? Jnana and karma. The contamination of jnana. We think, oh, I am a pandit. I'm a Brahmin. I have read so many Vedas and so many books, and I know too much. I know too much of all these things. But your head has become so heavy with all this knowledge that you suffer from intellectual constipation. And you cannot actually move. You know, you become incapacitated. Like they say, you know, paralysis by analysis. You analyze so much that you have a data overload. You ever had data overload? Just like one day you open your email and you get, you know, 278 messages. And you're like, whoa, I'm not going to deal with this. This is too much. And you just shut it down and you say, you know what? I'm going to go out in the park and I'm going to go and chant Hare Krishna. And it's called information overload. Has it ever happened to you? Or somebody comes and you think you're going to have a nice discussion and they just chew your ear off, you know? They just don't stop, you know? And you're like, okay, slow, nice and easy. So, jnana, I am too learned. I know too many things. And we are all conditioned by that. Because to one extent or the other, we think we have read so many books, we know so much, we have so much information, that we're so smart. But in our actual real life, we are very stupid. We can't even figure out the simple things. So gyan is a contamination. It is an alloy, which we have to watch out for. Now somebody may say, but you're studying books, and we're studying books. Yeah, but the purpose, the mentality is different. State tarko pratishta shutayovi bhinna, na yasari shir matanna bhinna, dharmasitatvani hitam guhaya mahajanayena gataksapanta. The true nature of dharma, dharmasitatvam, the true nature of dharma, nitam guhayam. What does guhayam mean? Any of you pandits, brahmins, Sanskrit scholars, what guhaya, what does guhaya mean? Anybody? Guhaya means hidden, covered. What's the most hidden place? Where do you put something when you don't want anybody to know? Not under your mattress, not in your closet. Where do you put it?
In your mind.
But the mind does tricky things, you know.
Write it down? Write it and hide it somewhere?
Nope. In your heart.
In your mind, don't believe it.
That's the most hidden place where nobody can go, right? So you hide it in your heart. So the true nature of Dharma is hidden in the heart. In whose heart? Mahajana Yenakataksapanta. In the heart of the Mahajans, of the great saintly persons. There, the true nature of Dharma is hidden. So who are the Mahajans? Svayambhur Naradakshambhu Kumara Kapilamanu Paralada Janaka Bhishma Balir Vayasakir Vayam. They're 12 Mahajans, and their lives are explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can study their lives and their teachings in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is not just gyan. This is not just contamination by mental speculation. But this is actual knowledge. Why? Because the knowledge serves to attain Krishna. So it is useful knowledge. So becoming contaminated by gyan, that is the point. We have to stay clear of that. Which means we are not too intent on reading too many books. Sometimes even devotees think, oh, there's all these new books out and I gotta go to the library and get more books out. I've just been to the library and there's 756 books on Vedanta and on Upanishads and on this Veda and that Veda, and I have to read them all and then I will know Krishna. Most likely you will know less at the end than you knew before. You will be more confused. I had a few friends and they went to study Sanskrit and they went to read so many books, and most of them got quite bewildered and they got quite confused by reading all these books. So gyan is definitely something which can bewilder the mind of the people. But we are studying the Shastras, we are studying these books which have been compiled, their compilations, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a summary study by Srila Prabhupada on Rupa Goswami's work on devotion. And he has painstakingly studied all Vedic literatures, and he has taken all the excerpts, all the essences, and compiled it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Everything which is in relation to bhakti. Means everything which is in relation to the goal. Because a lot of times people get lost and they can't see the forest for the trees. They see too many flowers and too much. It's too bright. But they don't see what is the depth, what is the actual purpose, what is the meaning. You ask any Sanskrit scholar, what is the meaning of Veda? What is the goal of Veda? And they'll say, purpose? Meaning?
Means knowledge,
eh? Yeah. I'm just studying words and verbs and roots and syllables and context, syntax, poetry, grammar. I'm not concerned about purpose. So gyan, we have to stay clear from gyan. Otherwise, if we think ourselves more knowledgeable, more smart than everybody else, we cannot attain Krishna. Krishna will not be impressed by that. Why? Tarko pratishta. You know what pratishta means? What is pratishta? False prestige, yes. Pratishta is false prestige. It is ego. You have ego. Why? Because you are so good in arguing with others. Just like students, they have these debating clubs, right? And who can be the champion? Who is a smarter than the other? And never mind what is the conclusion, never mind what is the actual goal. Just as long as you can argue, that is the taste, that is the juice. So a devotee does not bother with all this mental speculation, with all these arguments, because they're inconclusive. They will never end. They will continue. Since time immemorial, people have been arguing. Jai, Sisi Jagannath Bhavadev, Subhadev, Sisi Radha, Lama Vishwari, Bodhitai, Pindya. Jnana and karma. Contamination by fluid of activity. What's in it for me? That is karma. What do I get out of this? What's my cut? What's my interest? What's my benefit? Right? Any activity, any venture we're taking, what is it that they teach you? Begin with the goal in mind, right? See what is the goal. What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? But that can be very detrimental for spiritual life. If we think in terms of what is my profit, what is my gain in terms of material benefit, then we will have a hard time in dealing with Krishna. Because Krishna is also known as Hari. Hari means he takes away. He's the one who takes away. So sometimes people are a little scared because they know Krishna is a cunning fellow, you know. He stole the clothes of the gopis and he stole the hearts of so many inhabitants of Vrindavan. And sometimes he's doing things not according to the book, you know, because he is the author. He wrote the book so he can break the rules. And he's doing things in his own style. So people are a little scared. If I will go to Krishna, maybe he will take it all away. So they come and say, okay, Krishna, I will serve you, I'll try to please you, but please don't mess with my things, okay? Don't mess with my toys. Just leave them be, just for the time being. I'll let you know when I'm ready, okay? I'm not yet ready to give them up. I still want to play a little bit, right? But Krishna knows what is in our heart. He knows what we need and what challenges we can handle. He's not giving us the shock treatment. It's like one time we were driving in a vehicle in Switzerland, and we're going on Sankirtan. We're distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in Switzerland, and one devotee, he had one of those chronometers, one of those fancy watches with all the different buttons and all the sides, you know, Swiss chronometer, really nicely looking with all the little, you know, things there. And he was so absorbed in his watch. He was totally watch conscious. And he was pushing the buttons and he was showing the watch to all his friends and he was giving it to everybody. Totally absorbed in his watch. And so we were driving and our leader, Rohini Sudaprabhu, who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, very special person, he said, come on, show me that watch. I want to see your watch. You know, he was very proud. He gave him the watch. And so he looked at it and he opened the window and he just threw it out. We're driving over a bridge, you know. Watch was gone, you know. Now that's called the shock treatment, you know. Not everybody can handle that because a piece of him just jumped out of that window. But sometimes things happen like that in life, right? And you think, hey, whoa, what just happened? But, you know, life is cruel sometimes. The time factor comes and takes away some of our friends, some of our possessions, some of our relatives, some of our strength, some of our beauty. All of a sudden you wake up and you look in the mirror and you say, what? What happened? I was a good-looking guy. Who is this person here? I'm not bald. I'm not white. What's going on? I'm not accepting this. But you can't change it. So don't be scared if Krishna is taking a few things away or he's moving a few things around. It's called restructuring, you know? Don't be scared. Krishna is very kind. He has our best interest at heart. He wants us to come closer and closer and closer to him. He's not cruel. He's looking out for our best benefit. So we gotta have that faith. We gotta have that conviction that Krishna wants my best interest. That is Krishna consciousness. But if we simply go to the temple, church, or mosque, and we say, Ganam Dehi, Rupam Dehi, Upatyam Dehi, Dehi Ma, Dehi, I want, give me money, give me strength, give me beauty, give me nice everything, then of course Durga Ma, she will give you. But she will also destroy again. Because everything is temporary in this world. Everything has got a beginning and an end. So the pleasure comes with the pain. It's the same coin. So by the intensity of desire, by your effort of reaching out for that coin of happiness, you're also reaching out for distress. Because one time it's head, one time it's tail. You know, you never know what you get. Now, if you remember the five most pleasurable and the five most painful experiences in your life, just for a second, I don't want to embarrass anybody, you know, you don't have to share with anybody, just in your mind, you know. Remember the five most joyful and the five most painful experiences in your life. What stands out more?
The pain.
Why?
Because it hurts so much.
It hurts so much because your capacity to experience pain is so much greater than your capacity to experience material joy and happiness. That teaches us something, doesn't it? That means that on the material perspective, just like people are working so hard all week long, what? For a couple of pints of beer down at the pub? A few jokes with the mates? Is that it? 2 or 3 weeks of vacation? Is that all you're getting? 5 minutes of enjoyment? If you've been a good boy? That's not very spectacular. Your day's got 24 hours. And most of it is just absorbed in hard work or pure boredom. When you engage in devotional service of Krishna, every moment is enjoyable, is tasteful, and is full of happiness. Now you might say, I have not experienced this yet. Even though I'm chanting and I'm reading and I'm coming to temple, but still, it's nice, you know? It's good. But I'm not really deeply enjoying it. Well, have you started to deeply engage in that practice? Have you started to allow Krishna to enter into your heart and you hear his holy name on the level of your heart? Or are we just doing lip service? Oh yes, I'm a devotee of Krishna. But how do we manifest that? How many times a day do we think of Krishna? How many times a day do we take shelter of Krishna? And we think, yes Krishna, you're my Lord. You can make it happen. How many times a day do we think, no, I got it all under control. It's all A-OK, all Roger. I've got it figured out. So the more we actually take shelter of Krishna, the more Krishna will reveal himself to us. Just like Draupadi, when they attempted to strip her naked in the assembly, and she held on to her sari with one hand, and she cried out, hey Krishna, hey Govinda. Krishna didn't appear. But when she let go and completely surrendered him to Krishna, then Krishna appeared, and he protected her. So in the same way, if we let go of our own plans and ventures and our own strength, and we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then Krishna will appear in our lives in a very mysterious ways. And how will that happen? He will manifest himself in the association of devotees. Huh? Because the devotees, they have Krishna. Huh? They can give Krishna. The pure devotees can give Krishna. And every devotee represents Srila Prabhupada. We shouldn't think, oh yes, I will answer to God and maybe to Guru. But anybody else, no. I'm not going to deal with anybody less than that. But that means neophyte. That means we are very materialistic. We should see all the living entities are representatives of the Supreme Personality Godhead. We should be able to learn, just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. You have all the different lessons to be learned from the honeybee, from the different animals, from nature. We can learn from each and every individual. It's not that, oh, I will just learn from Krishna and maybe from Guru, but only if he says the things which I like, not the other things. No. We can learn from all living entities. And from some of them we learn by negative example, from some by positive example. So the point of this verse here is to take shelter of Krishna and to attain the supreme destination. And this can be achieved by anybody. No matter what our background, no matter what our social status, no matter what the color of our skin, no matter what the spectacular or frightening bank balance we're having, Krishna is not impressed by these things. He's only looking for our love. That is the only thing he's concerned with. So he's very easy to be pleased. He's stating in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, Patram Pushpam Palantom Mayam, Yome Bhakti Priyachati, Tadaham Patiparitam Mashnami Pretatmana. If you offer me with love and devotion a fruit, a flower, a leaf, or a bit of water, with love, I will accept it. Krishna is not saying, give me big buildings and mansions and give me millions of pounds. No, he's saying a fruit, a flower, a bit of water, but with love. That's the ingredients, bhakti, that's what he's looking for. So is that too much to ask? Is Krishna asking too much from us? Because some people are saying, hey, he wants too much, you know. We cannot satisfy God. He's angry, because we've been bad. But Krishna is not asking for too much. He's asking for a fruit, a flower, a leaf. That's easy. Yat karoshi adishnasi yat juhoshi didashi yat yatapasasi kanti yat tatkurushu madarpanam. Right? Who knows that word? Yat karoshi adishnasi yat juhoshi didashi yat yatapasasi kanti yat tatkurushu madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever austerity you perform, do it as an offering, as a gift for me. Just like if you embark on a venture. Even it might be a business venture, it might be a social venture, it might be any type of venture. In your mind, offer it to Krishna. Say, I'm doing this job now for Krishna. Not just for me, or for my boss, or for my family, or for my ego. I'm going to school, I'm going to get a degree. Who are you doing it for? I'm doing it for Krishna. You offer it in your mind to Krishna. And see the difference in mentality, what it does to you. Instead of doing it for yourself, offering it to Krishna. Then Krishna, he can appear in your lives. Because Krishna is simply there waiting for us to turn towards him. He's there in our hearts. He's not very far. Many times we think, oh, Krishna is back in India, back home somewhere, and I'm here. Big distance. No. Krishna is in our hearts. He's been there with us all along, through all the good and all the bad. He knows our heart, Guhayam. He knows what we have hidden, the good and the bad stuff. And he knows your sincerity. So we cannot disappoint Krishna. He's very patient. He's very tolerant. He has been with us since time immemorial, giving us good advice, leading us along the way, patiently. For us, patience is a big thing, right? Just to sit for 1 hour, It's hard. We're not accustomed to this. Krishna has been sitting with us, in our heart, since time immemorial, just accompanying us, giving us strength, giving us encouragement, giving us knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, so we can come closer to Him. So let's turn towards Krishna in our hearts by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And by dedicating our activities to Krishna, whatever they might be. Don't think Krishna is just in the temple or Krishna is just in the book. It's all Krishna's creation. It's all Krishna's energy. Don't see anything separated from Krishna. A couple of months ago, I was distributing books in Bali, which is part of Indonesia, but it's a Hindu island. And I was in a mall, undercover, plain clothes, and I approached a person and I gave him a book. I told him, this book is about yoga meditation, teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you heard of stress before? He said, I'm not interested in that. I asked him, what are you interested in? He said, I'm only interested in God, how to know God, and how to love God. I said, thank you for that. I have a different book for that. So I took that book back and gave him a different book, Bhagavad Gita. He took it. He was very happy. So don't think people out there, they're simply ignorant. They're simply going on with their materialistic activities. Today we were in Stratford. Which materialistic, you know, from a material point of view, materially speaking, is not a very spectacular place. Right? It's not the sophisticated part of London. But if you deal with people on a personal level, you're amazed at how much sincerity, how much gratitude, how much inquisitiveness you would find in all these people. The first four people who walked up to me, they each took a Bhagavad Gita. Some people from South Africa, some people from other parts of Africa, some people from England, or of different origins, but you know, lived in England for quite a while. Now what's the secret? The secret is to connect with people on the level of the heart. That means we have to understand, how does this person think? How does this person feel? What is important to this person? That means we have to develop empathy. We have to develop compassion. And that is only possible if we study the lives of the great acharyas, like Narada Muni, like the Mahajans, like Srila Prabhupada. Then when we see how much sacrifice they have done, how much endeavor they have performed for the benefit of the good of humanity, then we can become inspired to do a little something for the people of our little village here. Because the people are out there. They're waiting. They're suffering. They're clueless. If they would be happy, then why are they continuously doing the same thing over and over and over again? It means they haven't gotten it yet. It hasn't happened yet. It's still waiting to come. Success just now coming, just around the corner. So Krishna, He's very kind. And He's explaining to us in Bhagavad Gita how this world works. This Bhagavad Gita, this is the user's manual for this universe. Now our body is also a small universe. And how do you know? How many of you know how your hairs are growing? All you ladies who take a lot of care of your hair. How do you know where your hair is coming from? What does it consist of? Why is it falling out? Why is it turning white? You know whether your fingernails grow like this or they grow like that. Why, if a person dies, are the fingernails still continue to grow? How does our food get digested? Why do I get tired? Why do I get in different mood swings? We know so little about even this body, which is a small universe. How much do we know about the big universe? Even less. Now, if you go to the store and you buy, let's say, this microphone, you will have a 240-page booklet, user's manual, in English, French, German, Thai, Japanese, Swahili, Urdu, and Korean to explain to you how this microphone works. Now, this is plug and play, right? This is really basic technology. This is just, you put the cable in. There's not even a switch on this one. This is really basic. But it's doing a good job. I had worse. So, and we think, wow, 240 pages to explain this? What about this body? What about this world? No. We figure it all out. It's not a problem. I've got it all under control. But then why, my dear sir, my dear lady, are you still running like a mad nutter, like a mad dog, if you've got it all figured out? You should be happy. You should be peaceful. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. You should be sitting under a tree and just radiating happiness and joy. But if you're still running around the streets and tubes of London with that very specific look on your face, you know, that stern look, you know, I'm a Londoner, I'm a survivor, I'm out here, you know, fighting the fight, the struggle for existence. That means you haven't really understood what it's all about. You haven't figured it out yet. You're clueless. So why don't you read this Bhagavad Gita? It can't get any worse. I mean, look at you. Just for a second. Look in the mirror. How many smiling people do you see out there? I don't mean lunatics and people who are on drugs. I mean, you know, normal people. How many normal people do you see who are smiling, who are expressing their joy, their happiness? Very, very few. It is quite rare. Why? Have you ever asked yourselves why? Because we're so out of touch with reality. We're so out of touch with our own selves that we need all types of substances and all types of strenuous activities just to get a little tiny glimpse of so-called happiness and enjoyment. Oh, you have to take the good with the bad, you know, and this and that, and yeah. 3 weeks of vacations, 5 days work, then a few pints, and then back to the job. I don't accept that as happiness. Just like if I tell you, you know, I'm going to give you £100. Oh, nice. Thank you. That's very well. But I have a stick here, and I'm going to beat you over the head. And then I'm giving you another £100, and I'm going to beat you some more. Will you accept that? Of course, there's plenty of people who will say, yeah, go right ahead, you know. Be my guest. It seems like my daily life, right? Every day I make £100, and every day I come back beaten like a dog. Huh? It seems like usual life. It's not that bad. I mean, get it over with quickly, right? But if you're a sane person, do you accept this as happiness? Do you accept this as quality of life? No. This is below our dignity. This is below our standard of living. But still, we have accepted it because we do not know anything better. That's why we have to study Bhagavad Gita and start to practice Bhagavad Gita to attain that higher taste, that higher level of consciousness. And you might be in your job, you might be in the tube, you might be at home, you might be at the supermarket, you might be out there in the forest. Are there any forests here in London? Some? A few trees? I don't mean, you know, I mean the green stuff, like the, you know, like trees. Not like a little park, you know, with three trees, you know, for the dogs to...
Epping Forest.
There is? Yeah. Okay. So you might be out in the forest, and you might be doing whatever you're doing, feeling whatever you're feeling. If you just start to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What happens? What happens?
You wake up the doom and love for God.
All of a sudden, some natural joy comes in your heart. And you feel, I'm all right. I'm okay. Nobody can touch me. Huh? I'm good. Why? Because The Lord is there in His holy name, and He protects us. Now I know you might not want to admit that, but how many of you have been at your job, in your home, you know, doing whatever you're doing, you know, you're cleaning, you're cutting, you're jobbing, you're doing all the things you're doing, and all of a sudden, some melody, you know, comes into your ear, and you start humming and summing and chanting the holy name. And all of a sudden, you're hopping around in your own room, chanting Hare Krishna, and thinking, man, I'm not on drugs. I mean, hey, I'm okay, you know. Has it ever happened to you?
Yes.
Huh? Of course. And if not, you know, start chanting. Start chanting more. And you'll get that experience. You can be anywhere. It doesn't matter. The happiness of Krishna consciousness is not it is not limited to any physical location. It is not dependent on any caste, color, or creed. No. It is universal. That's why here, like in this room, we have people from all nationalities, from all backgrounds, from all walks of life. But we have a sense of unity. There is a sense of belonging. There's a sense of purpose. Why? Because we chant Hare Krishna. So I urge you, please, read Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna, make your life happy and sublime. And then while you're at it, share your joy with some other people you're meeting. Because people are suffering, believe it or not. The Great Britain is not doing that great. If you go up to people and you ask them, my dear sir, my dear lady, are you happy? Are you doing fine? Most of them will say, motu moti, you know, so-so. Not completely. So, we can attain that state of peacefulness and happiness and joy. But on the material platform, it is not existing. It is a mirage. It is an illusion. Only on the spiritual platform can we attain true equality, true peace, and true happiness. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I was told to end the class at 5 minutes to 7. Now it's 1 minute to 7. If there's one short question, try to answer. Jai. Thank you for that. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
His grace Lavinder Prabhu ki.
Jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.
Jai.